Blog Talk Radio.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Ken, some big news coming from the Coach K and Joe Show. Can you guess what that is?
I know it's going to be exciting, so just fill us in, Joe.
Okay, I guess iTunes has deemed us a reliable and good show and has dubbed us as to be able to download our shows onto iTunes, and all you got to do is you got to look for Coach K and Joe Show on iTunes, and you can subscribe to it, so that way you get every week's podcast taken right to your smartphone or iPad or whatever. What about that, Kenny?
Hey, that's pretty exciting. You know, one thing that our listeners, and it continues to grow every week, we're in our sixth show. You know, we're on iTunes now. You can podcast from Jasper Today online. We've got Twitter, at Coach K and Joe, Facebook, Coach K and Joe Show, and you can call us in. If you're listening live, you can call in and ask a question or make a comment, 773-897-6325. And, folks, we'd love to have your participation. We get a lot of comments and thoughts after the show. We'll have a couple questions today, but you're more than welcome to be a part of the show in what we're doing. So, yeah, Joe, that's pretty exciting. And Joe wears the hat as the Joe part of the show and our producer. So kudos to you, Joe, for getting that done with iTunes.
Well, you know, we got other people to thank. Alan Williams, of course, does some of our little promo type things for us. And he's really good. And he's right at our bargain basement price of we pay him $0 and 0 cents. So we like that. To be able to get someone professionally like that to add to the show is great. And someday I might take him out to eat or something. So,
well, you know, any time that anybody's got a talent or skill out there and they don't mind loaning it or helping with the show for free, we'll go ahead and take it. A lot of stuff going on this past week in sports. And, you know, Adam Kinese, we had him on last week, University of Indianapolis, the Greyhounds. They've made the playoffs for their division. So we're excited for University of Indianapolis and Adam Kinese. Mitch Stetter comes on the show a few weeks ago, and now he's going to the Angels. I guess we're a little touch of heaven for people. You know, he'll be out there with Trout and Pujols, and what a great opportunity for Mitch, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Brewers were never a real good fit for him with being a lefty and all that, and I think that the Angels, you know, going to be one of my new teams. Has nothing to do with Albert Pujols, of course, but has everything to do with Mitch Stetter. He's a great guy, and we're happy for him, and hopefully we can have him on here real soon to talk about the transition over to the Angels.
Well, for those listening, if you don't know or not familiar with Mitch Stetter's from Huntingburg, Indiana area. He's been with the Milwaukee Brewers. He's pitched on the major league level, had an injury, had been working his way back up. We had him on the show a few weeks ago. Wonderful guy to talk to. Was talking about his rehab, and I don't know that he ever thought this was opportunity was going to come his way, but what a great chance for Mitch to get that career going again and to do it out in California. We also had Ryan Milligan, who is pretty close to your heart, on last week, and her team needed a victory to go to the conference tournament at Western Kentucky. They got the victory, and she played at Western last night in the first round of their volleyball tournament for Florida, FIU.
Well, you know, Saturday after the game, she had a, you know, I'm a daddy talking here, but she just had an unbelievable game. She was everywhere. She wanted to come back to Kentucky. She wanted to be able to see her family, and she did whatever it took. And on the way down, walking her down to her car Saturday night, you know, I told her, I said, you know, I think you have a chance to be the Sun Belt Player of the Week. And her comment was, I could care less about those things. But you know, dads do. So on the way, we flew in Monday, and we got to Corydon, and my sister-in-law wanted White Castles. We stopped at White Castles, and I got on my Twitter real fast, and I saw the name Milligan, and sure enough, Sun Belt Conference Defensive Player of the Week. For her last regular season week of volleyball ever, it was a proud moment for Daddy. And, you know, she got beat last night. They ran into a really hot Western Kentucky team. Western's in the top 20 in the nation. But the consolation prize is the coach they can't fly out till Sunday, so her coach let her come home for 2 days. So you can't beat that. Now we're going to scramble and try to put a Christmas tree up tonight.
Well, it was kind of a win-win all the way around, because they made the tournament when they didn't think they might not have made the tournament if they didn't get that win. She comes home, she plays well. She's had a great career, and we're very proud of her. I know that I'm not one of her parents, but I've known her since she was a little gal, and she's done well, and she paid what I call the price and was willing to put in the time and effort to get to the college level, and she had a great career. So we're happy for her, and I think it just bodes well for the fact that if you're on our show, or maybe even if you call in, you'll have good things happen for you. Some other things going on. This week started the NCAA early signing period, so if you want to know what happened with IU, there's a great website out there, Inside the Hall. It's a great place to go to look at IU information. Pigs.com is another one. There's all kinds of sites out there, but those are two of the better ones. U of E, all the schools will have had early signing period people that came on board, so check that out. Major League Baseball, we'll jump right back to that real quick. Great story, I think, Joe. R.A. Dickey, 38 years old. His career just a few years ago looked like it was over. Comes back, learns how to throw a dynamite knuckleball. And if you've ever tried to hit a knuckleball, you realize how difficult that can be, much less throw a knuckleball. And he wins the Cy Young for the National League, played for the New York Mets. What a great story about R.A. Dickey.
Yeah, and also, let's not forget, there was one heck of a fight in NASCAR this week. I don't know if you got a chance to see that, but, you know, sometimes the race gets a little boring, and it gets nice when they bump around a little bit, and then their crews start battling it out. And, you know, did you get a chance to see that, Coach K, or not?
I did see it. I saw that, and I saw the replay of it, Boyer and Gordon. It got nasty out there. Of course, Keselowski is leading the points, and Jimmy Johnson right behind, and this weekend is the big one. But yeah, that brought a little bit of excitement. It was interesting that that fight happened and that you mentioned it, Joe, because I heard an interview earlier in the week with one of the head people of NASCAR, and it's kind of ironic. He mentioned that there was a lack of that intensity in recent years, and it never hurt the sport when the tempers flared a little bit, and then all of a sudden that happened. So I don't know. I doubt if it was orchestrated, but I'm sure it was opened a little bit up by those comments. Girls basketball has begun in the state in high school. Number of games have been going on. We'll talk to some girls coaches as we go on. But before this segment ends, I did have a question sent in to me, and I wanted to touch base on that question and talk a little bit about it, because I did hear the comments made. It's from Ben from Washington, and he says, Coach K, what did you think about Dan Dockage's comments that Mason Plumlee might be a better package than Cody Zeller? And I did hear that comment, saw it tweeted and from Dan Dockage, and I've known Dan Dockage for many, many years. He was the assistant coach at IU when Michael Lewis, a player of mine, was recruited to go to IU, and Dan did a great job as coach, as assistant, and has a great show, Dan Dockage Show on 1070 The Fan. He also does ESP commentating for games. But I was a little taken back. I think when you look at Mason Plumlee for Duke, 6'10", 6'11", physically, he's ripped. He's built. There's no doubt about it. He's a senior for Duke this year. He comes in about 6'10", 6'11", 235 pounds. He's from Warsaw, Indiana, and Cody Zeller's from Washington, Indiana. They do have those two things in common, that they're both from Indiana, and the town they're from starts with a W. But after that, I think it gets a little murky. Cody is about 6'11". Some people list him at 7 foot. He's about 240. He may not be as physically chiseled as Mason Plumlee is at this time, but let's remember, Mason Plumlee's a senior, and Cody Zeller's a sophomore. Let's talk about him from a basketball standpoint. I think the comparison being post players or power forwards might have some connection. But, folks, I got to tell you something. Agree or disagree, I think the comparison, the package stops right there. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about. First of all, Cody Zeller, coming out of his freshman year, literally was talked about that if he went into the draft, he could be the 1, 2, or 3 pick in the first round. This is a freshman like Anthony Davis. He came on and he took IU, Coach Crane, and the rest of the team, and took him to a level that we hadn't seen in several years, and did it when most people thought IU would finish somewhere in the mid to lower end of the pack. But I'll tell you what, Mason Plumlee's strong. Mason Plumlee can play inside. Mason Plumlee can rebound. Mason Plumlee has some moves to the basket. But when you talk about his perimeter play, he shoots a dart. And if you're familiar with that term in basketball, that means it's a straight line to the basket. And a dart is either, if you don't swish the ball, you better hope you hit that backboard just right to knock it in. Otherwise, it's going to bang off the backboard or it's going to clang off the rim. Cody Zeller, on the other hand, just does just a much better fluid motion on his shot. Even this year, he has expanded his range and improved his perimeter shooting. Free throw shooting. Mason Plumlee shoots about 53% career from the free throw line. Last year as a freshman, Cody Zeller shot 75% from the line. And that just tells you a little bit more about their overall basketball package skill level. Rebound-wise, very similar in rebounds, although against Kentucky the other night, I think Plumlee only had 3 rebounds. But he has averaged 9 rebounds as a junior. As a junior, Plumlee averaged 11 points. As a freshman, Cody Zeller was a key with Watford, averaging 15.6 points. Cody Zeller runs the floor better than any big man that we have seen in years. His brother Tyler ran the floor well too, but not like Cody Zeller runs it. Cody Zeller runs it almost like a 3 position, and that would be a small forward position. That's how well he gets up and down the floor. He's very mobile. His up and under moves, his step through, his shot fakes, he's much more mobile than Mason Plumlee. So I've got to say this. I wouldn't disagree with Coach Dockage on a lot of things. His basketball experience has been tremendous. I know Dick Vitale was really giving all the kudos to Mason Plumlee, and that's just Dick Vitale. But when you look at Plumlee and Zeller, I don't think we're talking about the same player. I think that Plumlee is just a step below a Cody Zeller. And there's other parts of the game that we could talk about, his passing. Cody Zeller last night made some outstanding passes from the perimeter. His vision of the court to see people cutting back door and cutting across the lane and kicking out, it's just much more advanced than Mason Plumlee. And I don't know that Mason Plumlee can ever get to that level, because sometimes that's just a skill you possess, an ability you possess. You can improve on it, but you may not ever get to the next level on it. So you may not agree with me if you're listening out there, but I got to tell you, I think Cody Zeller is a much bigger, much better expansion of a basketball player than Mason Plumlee. Either one's a great player. Either one's going to help his team. Coach Krzyzewski needs Mason Plumlee to be successful. He's got a couple other seniors that help him to be successful. But Cody Zeller is a sophomore and is playing at a level that I think is slightly above Mason Plumlee. And he's only going to get stronger, and he's only going to get better, and his game's only going to continue to improve.
Now, so, do you want the Purdue perspective on this?
Well, Joe, as we get ready to end segment one, we might as well get that.
Okay. I think Dan Dockich was drunk that day. And if I could pick one player to put on Purdue's team, anybody I could take right away, I wouldn't have to think about it. I'd take Cody Zeller in a heartbeat. So there's a, you know, a Purdue's perspective on it. Yeah.
Dan. Well, and I think what you were saying, he was drunk with Duke enthusiasm that day. Yeah, he was just caught up in the Duke part of things. But I just think that Cody Zeller just embodies a more complete package of a basketball player. And if anybody has some comments out there, feel free to call 773-897-6325 and weigh on. Even if we move into another segment, we'll take your call or take your questions on Facebook or Twitter. Hey, we're going to get ready to go to break, ending segment one. When we come back, Joe will be coming back with a kind of a unique story that I think is pretty interesting. So stay tuned. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
So what's in the November issue of Jasper Today? The Jasper Life with Mayor Terry Seitz. Sha Na Na, JHS Pops Concert. Football Diaries, U Indies, Adam Kinese. Eye on the Arch, Jordan Jones. Homegrown Business, Grounded, Organic, and Natural Foods. Jasper Icon, Cyril Burge. The Jasper Marching Band Report, and much more. Go to www.jaspertodayonline starting November 1st and click on the magazine cover of the Jasper Train Depot. You can also go to www.jaspertodayonline and read past issues. Jasper Today, taking Jasper into the 21st century as your multimedia magazine about Jasperites.
Does your website work for you? Think of your website as an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a website that doesn't produce results. Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help whip your site into shape. If you don't have a site yet, let Idea Fusion Media walk you through the entire process, from domain registration and hosting setup to the design and implementation of your site. To see how Idea Fusion Media can help you, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. Again, that's IdeaFusionMedia.com. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. At 6'5", a solid, meaty 215 pounds, your pregame announcer, your owner, your coach, your pop singing sensation, but most importantly, your power forward, yours truly, Jackie Boone!
Jackie Boone always gives himself a fantastic introduction.
Yeah, why not, Dick? His team, his money, and his tunnel of beautiful ball girls.
Well, speaking of money, Lou, did you get paid this week?
No.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Coach, before we get to Josh, real quick, we're going to start a little contest every week, and we're going to give away some kind of prize, pizza, et cetera, to people. And this week, though, I'm just going to have you and Kurt do it, even though I'm going to have you guys do it every week. And I'm going to play a little bit of a school song for you, and you have to take a guess of who it is. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Joe.
First one. You got a guess?
Wow.
At first, did you think it was Notre Dame?
At the very beginning, I did, when it just started. How about Wisconsin?
Okay. Here's the next one. Any guess?
Joe, you're killing me. I have no idea.
Should I just put
are
that
Big
one?
Ten songs?
Nope.
Or anybody's song?
Division One.
LSU. I don't know.
Okay.
I know. I'm going to get I'm just going to get nailed from people on this
okay,
one that
okay.
I don't know.
If you don't get the next one, you will get nailed. And any guess there?
Is that Purdue's?
You know, I can't wait to give you the answer after Kurt guesses, because it's a shame you do not know that one. Two more. And your guess is, and I didn't say answer, I said guess.
Oklahoma.
Okay. And the last
Joe.
One.
I need some help. Please.
And your final guess.
I'm going to say that's Wisconsin, too.
Jeez, I'm going to have to play these back for Todd Yoakum when he gets on, because you know Wisconsin's school song is Southridge's school song, and see if he agrees with you. But
I didn't really listen to those school songs that much, but I guess I should have. So
yes, you should have.
I'll hear it from the listenership, but
yeah,
I deserve it, Joe. You got me. You stumped me big time.
Thank you. And now we got our guest, Josh Ballmer. Josh was in the running, and he still is in my books, for the Ultimate IU Fan Contest, which ended last night in controversial situation where I think someone from Ohio or Pennsylvania or Florida was running the polls. Josh, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you, Joe?
Good, good. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with this contest and how it all started and evolved into what it was.
Well, I got an email sometime in October, I think, from the marketing department. I'm not sure if all students received this email, but it said, first line said, "Are you the ultimate Hoosier fan?" And that just popped out in my mind right away. Like, heck yes, I'm doing this. But it just said they're doing this online contest. Anyone can submit. And what you did is I submitted a 150-word paragraph about why I thought I was the ultimate Hoosier fan. And then you could submit 1 to 5 photos that supported your cause. And November 2nd, I do believe, they picked a top 8 for this competition, and they announced it Monday. That would have been November 5th, I think, and I got in the top 8. So after that, voting was open to the public until last night. Well, at least that's what I thought. And the last week, I'd been posting on Facebook and stuff about it. And then as the week went on, me and this other guy pulled ahead, and the last couple of days I've been campaigning really hard, and so many people have been helping me with it. And when I woke up last night, or yesterday morning, I mean, I was down by 200 votes, and I campaigned all day. So many people campaigned all day, putting messages on Facebook, sending emails, sending text messages. And I thought the competition was supposed to end at midnight last night, and when I hit refresh at midnight, I was up by 2 votes, and I had all these people texting me, Facebook messaging me, saying that I won and congrats. And then right after that, some people started messaging me saying that, hey, the voting's still open, what's up with that? And I just said, I don't know, we'll see what happens. And when I woke up this morning, the other guy was up by 200, and I was in my Spanish class, and my phone just started going ballistic, and I had all these people texting me saying that they said the other guy won. So I'm a little puzzled right now. I'm trying to get an explanation for everybody, but I'm glad. I'm so glad that I did it, and I love IU, and It was just amazing to see all the support that I got. I had Purdue fans sharing the link on Facebook, campaigning for me. I had Kentucky fans helping me out. It was unbelievable. And I know Jasper, just coming from Jasper and even DuBois County overall, we're filled with small towns and just the sense of community. And once you come to IU, you realize that, you know, coming from Jasper, DuBois County, that it's just unique because everybody's always willing to give you a helping hand, and everyone's just so helpful, and it was just amazing to see everybody try and help me. It's great.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was just getting ready to say before you gave the Purdue and Kentucky people credits. You know, Coach K and I are kind of like the Hannity and Combs of talk radio here, and I'm Hannity, of course, because he's got weird eyebrows like Combs. But
I think you're more like Rush Limbaugh. I don't know, but I think you're more Rush Limbaugh.
But, you know, yeah, I text all my friends. I tailgate with quite a big group at Purdue games, and I think from a man, I got back the same text. Why would I vote for an IU contest? And I said, because I told you to. And so if you won by two, I know I got you about 30 votes on text messaging at Purdue people. So be nice to the next Purdue person you see, okay?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And so many people were just like you. People were up the last 10 minutes, the last second, just trying to get me votes as many as they could. And when I hit refresh, and I saw that I was ahead by two, because at 11:59 it was tied. I was like, oh gosh. And when I hit refresh and I was up by two, I felt great. But then once I found out that the voting wasn't closed, I kind of got worried. But I kind of knew in the back of my mind. When I woke up and I saw the other guy was up by 200, I wasn't surprised, because he always seems to get his votes in the middle of the night. But I had fun with it, and I'm glad that I did it. And just like I said, everyone helping me out, it was just a great thing to witness, and I'm very thankful for everyone who helped me.
Now,
hey, Josh, this is Coach K. What was the total votes you had the last time you looked?
Oh, well, when at midnight I had 2,170 votes, and the other guy had 2,168. But this morning when I was looking, I think the last time I looked was about 2,289, and he had 2,489. And I know he finished, whenever they closed the poll, it said he had 2,496 votes. So I was about 200
behind.
Yeah, but
man, you had over 2,000 people come out and support you. That's awesome. That's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, it does. I'm so grateful for everyone who helped me, because it means like I said, I love IU. I'm obsessed with the basketball team and just everything about IU. And a lot of people knew that, and they really gave a helping hand to try and help me win. I really appreciate that.
Now, Josh, just before we let you go, tell us a little bit. You are involved also. You're not just a regular fan. IU student fan. You're also involved with the, is it the Student Sports Advisory Board or something like that?
Student Athletic Board.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your work with that?
So I think the first week of class is Student Athletic Board at a call-out meeting. And what they do is they have directors for every sport, and anybody can join. You go to a game like volleyball and you say, hey, I'm on student athletic board. They give you a t-shirt, and sometimes they ball run for games like field hockey, and like at volleyball games, they pass out t-shirts anytime there's an ace. They pass out rally towels, and for games of bowling, anytime there's a block. And they do that for all the sports, for soccer, women's soccer, field hockey, volleyball, basketball. They don't pass out. They do pass out t-shirts, but not for like every time there's like a three or anything. There's bigger, I guess, the marketing department's in charge of like basketball and football. But we go to a lot of other sports that don't have as many fans, and just try to get more people to come. And we get so many volunteer hours for doing it. think I have about 70 volunteer hours, which is the most out of anyone in student athletic board. So I'm really proud of that. And I encourage people to, because everyone's obsessed. Everyone loves IU basketball. Everyone here gets season tickets. But I encourage people to try to go to other sports because I love the volleyball games. They're really fun. Tonight we play Penn State, which I think is number one in the nation here. So I'm going to that. That'll be really fun. But I'm actually going to New York to watch IU play at the Barclays Center Monday and Tuesday with them. So the directors of SAB are going for that, and they asked me to go, and I'm really excited about that. But I love it. We have meetings for student section, trying to come up with ideas. We decorated Assembly Hall for Haunted Hall of Hoops. That was really fun, and it's a great way to get involved for a student with IU Athletics.
Well, Josh, I'll tell you what, we got to get moving to the next segment, but keep us informed on what's going on and post on Facebook and also let us know so we can let our listeners know as well. So, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. And
have a good day.
And we'll be back right after this word from our sponsors.
You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles. Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain-link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
Could you, like, shut up and give us the money?
Yes, money.
Money is cool.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. 6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back. And as we start our next segment, we're going to have Chris Goodman coming in. I don't know if the Beavis and Butthead piece right there was in some way insinuating that that's what we might be. But if we are, I'm Beavis for sure. I'm not sure what Chris was about, but I'm Beavis for sure. Chris Goodman, are you on the line with us?
I am. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. We're glad to have you back, and it's always a good day when you're talking to Goodman. So I've got a bunch of those I can bring out before our segment's done. So
you're waiting to spring them on me.
Hey, we've got some good playoff games coming up this weekend. You know, we're getting down to that final push to go up to Lucas Oil Stadium, but we got a couple of clashes that involve area teams, and let's talk a little bit about that. Before we do that, Castle couldn't quite find their way through. I'm sure that was a tough loss. I guess it was just a good team that they were going up against because, you know, Castle had weapons on the ground, through the air, on the line. Just couldn't quite get it done.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to watch that, and probably like you guys, if you watched it on the internet, I mean, it was just kind of frustrating to watch and see them lose a couple of receivers in the early going, and then later in the game to injury. And of course, you know, I mean, that doesn't take anything away from Center Grove. That's a pretty good football team there, and I can imagine that they'll be probably pretty successful in the semi-state. You never know. Once you move on, every round gets a little bit harder. But that was an awfully good Castle team that finished the season with just one loss.
Yeah, it certainly was, and of course, Wrights ran into a tremendous Columbus East team, and the two coaches that matched up there have a great relationship, and I'm sure one felt a lot better than the other after the game. But again, Wrights did a great job of what I would call righting the ship, peaking at the right time, even though they lost to very good teams throughout the season, and they end their their season against a very good Columbus East team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Panthers, we had a chance to do that game. I mean, ran into a team that was really kind of firing on all cylinders. Columbus East, just, I mean, they didn't make a lot of turnovers in their defense. I mean, they were big up front. They were big on their line, on their defensive line. When you play a team like that, that has a young sophomore running back that was that special, I mean, this is a kid that can and gosh, I can't remember his name for the life of me, and I should because I said it about 100 times on the air, but he's just phenomenal, and they have a pretty good team. And the thing about Columbus East, too, is that they've got a lot of young players. I mean, this is a team that's going to be around for a couple of years, and that's a scary thought considering you're going to end up seeing them probably reach the semi-state or the state level the next couple of years for Bob Gattis.
Yeah, if you're coming out of this area, you're probably going to run into them. So let's go to this weekend's games at Class 3A. How about that Gibson Southern team? Incredible. I don't want to say incredible, but a pretty awesome comeback and just an outstanding performance by Jordan Scheller in their game at Charlestown.
Yeah, when you do that and when you come back and I actually had a chance, believe it or not, I was listening to one on the radio and watching one on the internet, and we didn't do a game on Friday. We did the Wrights game on Saturday on our home team Friday game of the week, so I had a chance to kind of watch both and listen to both, and I mean, that comeback was just phenomenal. I mean, I just can't even fathom that a team that's down 49-21 at the half comes back on any level. I mean, you're talking about some of the biggest comebacks of all time. You're talking about I don't remember the game, but I think the maybe the Houston Oilers were down to Buffalo, maybe like that at their half or up. I can't remember which one it was, but you look at the NFL level and you see those kind of comebacks, and it's so few and far between that I don't think they'll probably realize what they did until the end of the year.
Well, he had a magnificent performance. You got to give credit to the whole team because mentally you have to stay in there and you have to keep grinding it out. But his numbers for that, gaudy numbers for that game, if he can do it this week and they need it because they're going up against a Chittard team out of Indianapolis that is a perennial power in 3A. They're coming in 11-2, and I'm sure those losses were against some teams that were in the higher class, and I'm sure they beat some teams in the higher class as they play a tough schedule up at Chittard. But they're coming down to Gibson Southern. I think it's a tall order for Gibson Southern, but Chittard at Gibson Southern.
Yeah, you know, and you were talking about those losses. I think one of those was actually to Indianapolis Ritter, where we're going to talk about them in a second when they play modern day. But anytime you talk about Chittard, whether in Class 3A they were playing Heritage Hills or Memorial, they're always going to bring an incredible balance. They've got a lot of gifted athletes. I mean, like you would expect some of the parochial schools in that level to do. I mean, they are just loaded with talent year in and year out. And I can only imagine that this year they're probably, even though that record you said is a little bit deceptive, that, you know, they played some tough competition. But I can only imagine what they bring to the table each and every week when they play a football team. And they're also growing, too. They're getting better and better. But Gibson Southern, on the other hand, has had a banner year. And nothing would satisfy, I think, fans and Titans country more than to see a semi-state championship. I mean, regardless of what happens from this point on, the fact that Jordan Scheller's put up those unbelievable numbers, that line has been terrific all year. They've made it to semi-state, uncharted territory. I mean, it's such a fantastic storybook story for those guys to do what they did this year. And hopefully the story doesn't end this week. I mean, they've got their work cut out for them, and I'm sure Nick Hart is busy preparing and trying to get ready for a Chittard team that's always very, very tough.
Well, the great thing about it, I think, for Gibson Southern is it is at home. And the other thing is that we know that the Gibson Southern offense can explode, but the lines are going to be key. I really believe that those big, strong lines for Gibson Southern are going to have to be at their best against Chittard. And we'll get a little bit more on Chittard from the Indianapolis side when we talk to Bill Somm in a segment coming up. But Gibson Southern, they're going to have to do everything right, Chris, if we're going to be able to win this football game.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to is execution at this point. Certainly you don't want to fall behind 49-21 to an Indianapolis Chittard team that's probably going to be one of the better defensive teams that you've faced all year. You're probably not going to put up 50 points like you did against that, so you're going to have to score to beat them as well. So you want to kind of contain them and just keep them from having one of those games where they kind of run the ball every time, and they're always a strong running attack. Gibson said they're a little different. They throw the ball, so you look at the contrasting styles, and you just kind of wonder what will happen in that one.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, and I know the people in Gibson County are excited, especially the Gibson Southern people, and really Southern Indiana is pretty excited for Gibson Southern and what they've been able to do. 2A, Cardinal Ritter at Mater Dei. Ritter's tough, 13-0. We know Mater Dei is good. We've seen them all year, but Ritter will be another tall order for Mike Gable and his Wildcats.
Yeah, and like I said, they beat Chittard. I mean, here's a team that hasn't had a lot of close games the entire season. If there's any advantage maybe for Mater Dei, it's the fact that they played some really, really close games, and I think this will be a close game. And when you play in situations like that, when you beat North Posey by a field goal, you come back against Wright, you lose by 7, but you were down 28-0, and talking about Mater Dei, of course, and you play teams like Castle. I mean, I think that's going to benefit Mike Gable and company. One thing you can never take away from them, they're always going to be super prepared. I mean, they're always going to be ready for the game at hand. I can guarantee you that all week they've been talking a lot of Indianapolis Ritter, and they've looked at that team upside one down and the other, and they're going to be ready for them. And it may be one of those battles to where Mater Dei might lose in the end because of just because maybe there's a disparity in talent a little bit, because Ritter is going to bring in a lot of good athletes to the table. But, I don't think so. I think Nolan Gable is going to have a pretty good game. I think Hartz is going to have a good game at quarterback, and that offensive and defensive line for Mater Dei can sniff that state championship appearance. And when they get this close, usually they play pretty well in those games.
Well, and Mater Dei is solid. I mean, Hartz and Gable, they've got some pretty solid numbers back there, so they give you a 1-2 punch. Now, Mater Dei may not have been consistent in the passing game all year long, but they are capable of throwing the ball and then running the ball. Even the quarterback, Hartz, he can get out there and run the ball a little bit, but they've got a good solid 1-2 punch behind that offensive line.
Yeah, and when you take into that into consideration, not just that, but the fact that they've got a pretty good defense. I mean, you look at them and you think, wow, this is a team that's kind of been driven on the offensive side of the ball this year. But you look at their scores, and they've held a lot of good teams to not that many points. They held a Castle team, and if you want to say held, Castle only scored 35 against them, and they were averaging 40 to 50 points a game against most of the other teams. And granted, that was a very rainy and cold night, but I think the Mater Dei defense is a little bit better than people might suspect up in the other parts of the state. I think a lot of credit always goes to their offense because they've had great offenses in the past. But I think that my sneaky suspicion is that defense is a lot better than it probably looks on paper.
Well, he'll have them ready because he is as a competitor as anybody around, and that's going to be another great matchup. Hey, after football, what do we got going? Do we have some basketball games that we're going to see on the weekends?
We do. I think starting December 7th on a Friday night, that's our first game. And we haven't actually come up with a schedule yet, but I know we're doing a game, the home team Friday game of the week, on most of the Fridays. Of course, that's probably going to be interrupted by the holidays and having that kind of stuff, you know, the plans and stuff like that. Not only there are sporadic basketball games during that time, but we will be doing games, home team Friday game of the week. Most Fridays we're going to be there. Hopefully we'll get the majority of tri-state teams on the air from time to time, and starting on December 7th.
Well, that's great. I look forward to that, and we'll have you back to talk hoops as well as we finish up this football season. I look forward to it. Maybe I'll be out at a few games, and I'll see you doing those games. I'll give you a wave.
Awesome, awesome. Come by, pat me on the back. Maybe I'll give you some free popcorn from Warren Disler or something. I don't have much, but I can give you something, right?
Thanks for being with us, Chris. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks for having me on the show every week.
Love having you, Chris. All right, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking the other side of the coin, Indianapolis football playoffs in that area with Bill Somm, and we'll be back to talk with him real quick. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Join Ken, Coach K, Schulteis, and Joe Milligan every Friday from 11 to 1 for the Coach K and Joe Show. High school sports, college sport, pro sport. They will talk about it all with guests from around the state. The Coach K and Joe Show brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. You can listen to the Coach K and Joe Show by going to jaspertodayonline.com and clicking on the link. You can also listen to archive shows there. It's the Coach K and Joe Show every Friday at 11 on jaspertodayonline.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
You okay, Hoser?
I'm your father, Luke. Give in to the dark side of the force, you knob.
He's a Jedi 17 times, eh?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, we're back, and in just a little bit, speaking of Darth Vader, we'll be talking to Bill Somm, and we'll be talking about a little Indianapolis area playoff and find out what's going on up there. As the teams start to come out of the Indianapolis area, the southern part of the state, northern part of the state, and merge to into these playoff games to get to Lucas Oil Stadium, a lot of good players, a lot of good teams left, very, very competitive and very good coaches. So let's get right into it. Bill Somm, are you with us?
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Hey, it's great to hear from you, Darth Vader. Well, not really Darth Vader, but coming back from the clip, it made me think of you and Darth Vader in the same. Hey, I, before we get started, I wanted to tell you I was talking with somebody, and we were talking about what an exciting thing it is to have you as a part of the show, not just your background as a coach in football, being in the Indianapolis area, but your NCAA background as well, which we'll be able to pick your brain a little bit as we go forward and talk about some of the things going on in college basketball and rules and whatnot. But it was interesting because it reminded me of a quote I read about you one time. It said, Bill Somm, if Bill Somm is knocking at your door regarding college basketball, he is not the one you want being on your blank. So.
Well, those were back in the NCAA enforcement days, and those were some interesting days, no doubt.
And I can tell you that in the gist of the article, it was a compliment to your ability to get out there and do the job of keeping people straight, because we know how difficult that can be. But for a later, we'll talk about that down the road. Let's talk Indianapolis playoff football. We are at the semi-state level. We are getting ready for teams to be able to go into Lucas Oil Stadium, play for a state championship after this weekend. Tell us what's going on and the teams we need to be looking for as we get in the semi-state.
Well, it sure is an exciting weekend. And, again, up here in the Indianapolis area, it's a great weather day. It's going to be in the 50s around 5, 6, 7 o'clock. It's sunny and no wind right now. So I think we got to have an even playing field for everybody involved. In 1A, and you folks have talked about a couple of these games, but you have Cecina and Linton Stockton playing. Cecina is a running team, as we talked about last week. They have six running backs that just run all over the place. However, Linton Stockton is ranked 35th in the Sagarin ratings, and Cecina is ranked 69th. And Linton Stockton is going to run and pass a little bit more. This is going to be a really, really good football game. A sidebar to it is if Cecina wins the game tonight, they get moved up to the next level. So they have a little bit more at play there than most. The Lafayette Central Catholic game and the Sheridan game is a very interesting game. For those of us that follow football closely, obviously Sheridan has the great coach Bud Wright, who's been there many, many years. They have a common opponent. Lafayette Central played Tipton and beat them 24-13. Sheridan played Tipton and got beat 40-18. Having said that, I think this is still going to be a really, really good football game, and it's going to be a pick 'em at the end probably. Another interesting sidebar, I think, on the 1A teams is these are the same four teams from last year. So when we talk about programs in sports at whatever level, I think the word program is very meaningful, and it kind of shows its face here in the 1A area.
Yeah, and to go along with that theme of 1A and the same teams, you know, the Linton game, which you talked about, you know, Linton is that little small school that sits out there, and a lot of people in the southern part of the state don't realize what a great football program they have had, especially the last 5 to 7 years. They have been competitive every year out. So that is going to be a great game, and the fact that these teams have been there before, I think it makes it even more exciting because I think they're going to be a little bit more settled, a little bit more prepared mentally and emotionally, and we should see the best of their best out there on the field.
That's a great observation. Now, those folks have been there before. The upperclassmen have been there. The coaches have been there. And I think you're just going to see two really good high school football games. That Linton team's 13-0. So, they've had a wonderful season to date. And it's a long, long bus ride for Cecina. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, on 2A, you talked for a minute on Cardinal Ritter and Evansville. Cardinal Ritter is averaging 51 points a game. So they are putting the points on the board. They have a junior quarterback who has thrown for 2,500 yards. Now, listen to this combo. Anybody at any level would like this. This junior quarterback, Jake Kushea, has 40 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. So he's a pretty darn good quarterback, and obviously they throw the ball a lot. They do not run a high risk throwing offense, thus showing those only five interceptions compared to 40 touchdowns. And you folks down there in the Evansville grade, you know you have a quarterback that runs, and you have a really good defense. Ritter's 17th in the Sagarin ratings, and Evansville is the 24th. So that, again, golly, that's just going to be a really, really close football game.
I can tell you that Coach Gable is just solid in preparation, and he's had many teams get in this position before, so they'll be ready for Ritter. But, man, Ritter sounds like a juggernaut.
Oh, they're very good. They're very good. They're 13-0, and again, they just put the ball in the end zone a lot. But, you know, the other thing about Evansville, as you folks know, their only two losses are one's to a 5A team and one's to a 4A team. So they play a little bit tougher schedule than Cardinal Ritter. Having said that, Ritter did jump up and beat Chittard this year, and Chittard's a good football team.
Absolutely.
The other 2A game is Fort Wayne Lures and Adrian. Lures has a young quarterback. They run the eye. They have a good defense. They have obviously probably the leading candidate for Mr. Football, the kid Jalen Smith, who's signed with, or is committed to Notre Dame. He runs the ball well. You know, he's a linebacker. He's very good. However, Lures has a defensive lineman who is not going to play tonight due to injury. That could have a bit of an impact, but they're a very good team. Adrian runs a modified spread, so they do run the ball a little bit. And another interesting thing I think about Fort Wayne Lures is 3 of their losses are to teams who are still undefeated. They played a couple teams from Ohio. So the teams that they've gotten beaten by are no slouches. So they're a well-prepared team. They had their controversy earlier in the year, but obviously they survived that. Lures is the 21st ranked team in the Sagarin ratings, and Adrian is 65th.
You know, Bill, I think, you know, we talked about this in the earlier shows, and people can go back and listen to them on podcasts. We talked about Fort Wayne Lures, and I think this goes back to the testament of a comment you just made earlier in the segment about the program. You know, they had their issues. They had some problems at Lures, but the program is so strong and has been in place for a long time. The tradition is there. The players are obviously there. They have been able to overcome changes that, you know, are pretty significant and still hold the line and still be in a position to go back to Lucas Oil Stadium. And I'll tell you, that Lures program, it's something.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think many of us have learned over the course of life, Coach, that the individual is replaceable, while as the big machine can keep on working, whether it's within the sport of football or even in the way of life. When you have a program, when you have a commitment to a certain set of core values, teams like these four wing teams, and in those four teams in 1A, I think it just again shows that you can survive and overcome the individual.
All right, moving on to 3A. It's 4A.
3A, we're in 3A. Bishop Chatard, you talked about that for a moment. I think the interesting sidebar that obviously most of you folks are familiar with is Gibson Southern is coached by Nick Hart, who's the son of the former coach down your way and also up our way at Warren Central, John Hart. And obviously comes from some good coaching lineage, and I think he's going to have his hands full, though. Gibson Southern is the 74th ranked team in Sagarin ratings. Bishop Chatard's number 8. Bishop Chatard, they can throw the ball. You know, if you're going to attend that game, you want to watch a kid named Joe Fagan. He's 6'4", 200 pounds. He plays a defensive back position. He plays a wide receiver. He carries the ball. And I think, you know, going back to your earlier comment, Bishop Chatard's been there so many times, it's just not – it's not an issue of nerves with them anymore. It's just an issue of following through. So that'll be an interesting game. They both have 11-2 records, but I think Bishop Chatard may have played a little bit more difficult schedule as the season progressed. The other game is Mishawaka Marion at Hamilton Heights. That could be a very tight game. Mishawaka is 56th in the Sagarin ratings. Hamilton Heights is 35th. They lost. Hamilton Heights is 12-1. They lost their first game to Tipton, 19-14, and that's the only loss. They've won 12 straight. Mishawaka Marion has a big offensive and defensive line. They kind of run a modified spread, too. They run the spread offense, but they also like to run the double wing every now and then, which obviously you can run the trap and the sweep and the off-tackle out of. And Miss Walker has a very good defense also. So it's going to be interesting. If Hamilton Heights wins, it'll be their first time in the state final. So they have a lot at stake, and I'm sure there's lots of enthusiasm running through that football team right now.
And then we got the 4A clashes, and probably somebody close to your heart anyway.
Well, we'll hang on to that one. We have the first 4A game is Mishawaka versus Concord, another really good semi-state game. Mishawaka ranked 50th, Concord 59th in the Sagarin ratings. Mishawaka runs a triple option. They like to spread you out. Concord also runs the spread, or excuse me, Mishawaka runs the triple option. Concord runs a spread offense, so you're going to see two entirely different offenses. And it's going to be interesting to see how they react to each other defensively. However, Concord, only three schools on their schedule has a winning record. So that's going to be interesting. Also, a sidebar to that game, the Concord head coach is a graduate of Mishawaka. So it'll be some fun other stuff than football going on in that game.
It sounds like it, and I'd have to say that Mishawaka Marion and Mishawaka, there's some good football being played up in the Mishawaka area.
Yes, there is. Very good. The other 4A game is Columbus East and Cathedral High School. The Columbus East has a very good sophomore running back, Marvell Jones. Just very, very good. Probably 5'11", 205 pounds. The good news for Cathedral is that he is a sophomore. The bad news is that he's absolutely a Division I football player. Columbus East is 20th in the Sagarin ratings. Cathedral is 4th. It should be a knockdown dragout. You know, Columbus East has they have a little bit of a monkey on their back, but at the same time, they can use it to their advantage. Cathedral beat them 62-7 last year, and Columbus East had the best quarterback in the nation. So Cathedral is traveling down to Columbus East. They've been at home the last couple weeks. Columbus East hasn't lost a game. They're 13-0. Cathedral's 8-5, so it's gonna be interesting.
I think it's going to be a great game, and you – you alluded to the fact last week at Columbus East playing rights that Columbus East was so big and that would take a toll. And it actually was the key in that game. Their size and strength was just too much for rights. But they're a young team, Bill. They're, you know, Coach Gattis, he's got a young team that's a very talented team. But I believe that Cathedral's schedule is going to play in their favor against Columbus East.
I would think the schedule plays will play a major factor. I'll tell you the other thing that I'm anxious to watch in that football game is Cathedral's quickness versus Columbus East's size. And high school football is meant for high school kids, and if they're great high school players, they can keep that going the rest of their lives. That's awesome. But so this next statement is not critical, but those massive linemen there at Columbus East, none of them are being recruited. So I think what that shows to me is a little bit about foot speed, maybe mm-hmm. hand speed, but primarily foot speed. So I'm anxious to see, what's going to win out here, the speed / size of Cathedral or the massive size of Columbus East. So that'll be something I think post-game folks will be talking about.
Yeah, I that's going to be interesting. And speed kills, you know, they say. And in sports, athletics, it is the truth. Quickness and speed are just hard to deal with regardless of your size. Hey, Bill, we're going to have to move through this segment, but I want to ask you a quick question before we leave this segment with you this week. You know, last week we got into a discussion. We talked a little bit about teams that, because of winning in their class and success, they're probably going to have to move up. Have you been able to – I know you identified one. Have you been able to look and identify some other teams that are possibly going to have to move up in class as a result of the new rule in the football playoff or the football picture?
Yes. The following teams are not maybes. They are absolutely for sure – because of their success up until and including the regional games. Cathedral will officially move from 4A to 5A next year. Bishop Chittard will move from 3A to 4A. Fort Wayne Bishop Lure will move from 2 to 3, and Lafayette Central Catholic will move from 1 to 2. Those are the schools that are guaranteed to move up. At this point, and we'll see what happens this coming weekend to see who else that impacts.
Well, that's great. You know, I don't know if it's good, bad, wrong, right. It's the way it is. Our listeners may have some comments and thoughts on it. Feel free to message the show, tweet us, call in. But, Bill, great stuff again this week. You always come so prepared. You're giving the people what the inside stuff that they need to know, not just the game, but the offenses, the ratings, the rankings. And, man, we love having you on this show. And we, even though football might be coming to an end in a few weeks, we want to keep you around, talk to you about some other things that you have knowledge of. And you're just a great contributor to the show.
Well, thanks, guys. And both of you and your listeners have a happy Thanksgiving.
And you too, Bill. We're going to go to a break here. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team. We've had over 5,000 listeners through our first three shows, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
Excuse me, sir, is this the Delta House?
Sure, come on in.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, we're back on this segment, and this is going to be a little segment's going to run a little bit more quickly, but, you know, as we're moving out of the high school football season, already in the round of the semi-state, Lucas Oil Stadium next weekend, we're going to start talking high school basketball, and we're going to talk about high school basketball around the state. We're going to talk about the good players, up-and-comers, people being recruited, good teams to watch and things like that. And just as we talk about in the Evansville area, and we talk about football in the Indianapolis area, we're going to talk about basketball in the Evansville area and in the Indianapolis area as well. And one of our contributors for our basketball segment, high school basketball segment out of the Indianapolis area, is going to be Don Schultheis. And yes, the name is familiar because we just came back from a clip that had a little Animal House in it. Don was probably part of the Animal House of the Schultheis family growing up. Don, great to have you as a part of the show.
Hey, Coach Joe, glad to be on, and you guys are, as usual, having a great show today.
Well, I appreciate that, and we've got Don's going to be a part of being a contributor from the Indianapolis area on basketball, and today, Don, I asked you to come on quickly because I wanted to talk a little bit about maybe four or five players up in the Indianapolis area that our listeners might want to keep track of, be watching the progress of the team, be watching the progress of the players. What do you have for us today?
Oh, I can definitely. The thing is, we could probably talk about so many more than four or five, but I'll keep the list short. You know, many people wondered if Indiana was going to have the kind of quality basketball, particularly Central Indiana, based on what we graduated last year. You had Gary Harris at Hamilton Southeastern that went to Michigan State and starts. Everybody has been watching and reading about Yogi Ferrell, who was at Park Tudor, helped them win two state championships. He's now a starter at IU. Kellen Dunham, who's a Butler starter and has put in 18 and 11 points the last his first two games in Division I college basketball, and really gives them a new opportunity to score from the outside. Jeremy Hollowell, who was at LC up here, Lawrence Central, and now is at IU and contributing a lot, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets into the starting lineup maybe at some point here as the year progresses. And Joe, I won't leave you out. Ronnie Johnson, who's from North Central and is one of the top guards for Purdue University. So great talent that we graduated, but we've got great talent that it continues to develop up here. And maybe I'll move in, starting with the freshman class, believe it or not. There is another Gordon coming up that just started his career at North Central. The listeners may remember 2007 Mr. Basketball, Eric Gordon. Well, this is definitely his little brother, and he is for real. He's been nationally recognized already, being on an AAU team that has won national championships a couple of different times prior to him getting to the high school level. And he'll be a top player and automatic starter for North Central. So keep your eyes and ears attuned for his name. In the sophomore class, Indianapolis Cathedral, which I know your guest Bill Somm talks about their football power, but they're going to be one of the top teams in the state, if not the country, this year with the talent pool. And they've got a sophomore by the name of Jalen Coleman. He's 6'2", averaged 12 points a game last year as a freshman. And he is highly sought after. IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, Ohio State have all offered scholarships to Jalen, and he's going to be fun to watch. He's got great leaping ability. He can just flat shoot the ball from out, and he's just going to get better and better. Gary Bonds, who transferred from Cecina, which was another football school that you talked about, he was a starting freshman for them. He's 6'8". He's transferred over to Warren Central, playing for Greg Graham and joining Devin Davis, who we'll talk about in just a second. But he's another top sophomore. I was at the Muskie Madness in Cincinnati for Xavier University a few weeks ago, and he was sitting – in their recruiting section already before he even played a game his sophomore year. And so a number of teams are looking at him, and he's got a bright future. In the junior class, Trevon Blewett, who really joined Yogi Ferrell a couple years ago and was kind of the missing link for Park Tudor, they have won two state championships in a row during Trevon's freshman and sophomore year, and they are looked at as being in a position to maybe three-peat already this year. He averaged 19 points a game last year. He's 6'5", just under 5 rebounds a game. He is on the verge of reaching a 1,000-point total. Will happen early this year, and being able to have already recorded 500 rebounds. He's just short of that now, but in the early part of the season should get there quickly. And then one name that the listeners have probably read about or been following is Trey Lyles. Trey had originally committed to IU. He decommitted a few months back and opened up his recruiting. The rumors are that he's been down to watch Kentucky and talk to Coach Cal down there. He's a tremendous talent. He's 6'9". He averaged 21 points and over 14 rebounds a game last year for Indianapolis Tech as a sophomore. He was City Player of the Year in a real talented pool up here last year, and he's only a junior. And so he's got, if he can stay healthy, which all signs point that he is, he should be an incredible talent. Now, moving into the senior class, we've got some real talented players to follow. Some of the names that have just graduated. Gary Harris's teammate, Zach Irvin, he's 6'7". He averaged almost 19 points a game, shot 40% from the three-point line last year, is at Hamilton Southeastern. He's committed and signed with Michigan. Michigan is building quite a talent pool, and I know they're picked as one of the top teams in the Big Ten this year, and it's only going to get better. Devin Davis, who I mentioned a little bit earlier, he's a senior at Warren Central. He's signed with IU. He's 6'6", also a shooter, averaging almost 19 points a game last year and almost 9 rebounds a game. So he's going to be quite fun to watch and bring a lot of talent down to Bloomington next year. Basil Smotherman from Lawrence North, he originally had spent a couple of years at Heritage Christian up here, transferred to play for Jack Kiefer last year, has signed with Purdue University. He's 6'7", a very thick 6'7", and averaged 9 points a game last year. I think last year was kind of his fitting in period for LN, but he joins a very talented class, and LN should be a top contender up here. And then Jalen Brown, who you may have read about down your way in the papers, he's at Fishers High School. He's a 6-foot point guard, averaging over 13 points a game last year, almost 5 assists a game, and he signed with the University of Evansville. So Coach Simmons is going to have a nice player coming to join his son next year in that recruiting class. And then finally, Colin Hartman, who's at Indianapolis Cathedral. He committed to IU back after his freshman year. He's a 6'6", solid player. He can rebound. He can score. He's a great team player. He averaged 15 points a game last year and almost 7 rebounds. But I will tell you this, Colin's got a lot of firepower. He's kind of pulled back a little bit because there's a lot of talent at Cathedral, and he's trying to bring that team together so they can break through, win a sectional, and maybe go on to the state. So those are the top players. Coach, if you got any questions, or I could move right into the teams.
Well, Don, I think what we'll do is hit the teams next week, because at some point we want to talk a little bit more in depth about some of these individuals as well, because we get some great talent around the state of Indiana. We get some great players down south, up north, and then all the young men you mentioned, a lot of young, great players. So we're gonna have to end the segment this week. You got so much good stuff. We gotta dissect it and keep it going. You're gonna be out at the Legends Classic at the Barclays Center to watch the Hoosiers play Georgia, and then I don't who and UCLA and who's the fourth team out there? UCLA, Georgia, IU.
I think it might be Georgetown, possibly.
Georgetown, it is Georgetown. So you'll have fun out there, and we'll be able to talk a little bit more over Thanksgiving. But great stuff. Come back next week, and let's talk some more hoops, individual and team players.
All right. It's exciting as we start moving into high school basketball season. So we'll be back, and we got a lot to share.
Well, we got our Glory's Day segment coming up. We've got a tremendous guest, Todd Yoakum, part of the 85-86 back-to-back Final Four in the single class Southridge Raiders. As we go to break, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Think of your website as an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a website that doesn't produce results. Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help whip your site into shape. If you don't have a site yet, let Idea Fusion Media walk you through the entire process, from domain registration and hosting setup to the design and implementation of your site. To see how Idea Fusion Media can help you, visit ideafusionmedia.com. Again, that's ideafusionmedia.com. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you.
Can't talk now, you're mute.
We got that old little blind deaf mute girl. Old Yeller. What's her name? Old
Helen Yeller.
No, old Helen Yeller. Oh,
don't you guys mean Helen Keller?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, our Glory Day segment. We have got Southridge three-sport star and Indiana State quarterback, Todd Yoakum. Todd, are you with us?
Yes, I'm right here.
Todd, how's it going today?
It's going well. Beautiful day here in western Pennsylvania.
Hey, Todd, this is Coach K. It's great to have you on the show. I got to tell you, I was excited when Joe told me you were going to be a part of the show. You know, not only are you doing fantastic things now, you were one of those fantastic young men that comes through the athletic system at Southridge, and just so many great things to talk about. The bad thing about today is we're just not going to have enough time to talk to you about all the things that you have been a part of and that you are doing. It's going to be a great show. But before we get started, tell us a little bit about where you're at now, a little bit about your family and what's going on in your life.
Sure. So after I left Indiana State, my wife and I came to Pittsburgh essentially to go to grad school at Carnegie Mellon University. And I studied robotics there, essentially creating self-driving cars. Did that for, about 17 years total. Started a couple companies, able to fortunately sell those off. And in 2009, became a consultant in the same area. What I spend most time doing now is Size Consulting is coaching high school football here and coaching my kids' basketball and football teams and just enjoying spending time with my family.
Man, that's awesome. And I, as I was doing a little prep work for the show and your segment, it was really exciting to see all the things you've done since you left high school and college. And I saw, you know, the Carnegie Mellon degree and all these things. I saw where you were working with high school level on the football field. And I think that is really exciting that you can be so varied in the things that you are doing. You know, when I was coaching, I just started coaching at Washington Catholic when you were a senior, and I had followed you the year before as a junior. And when I talked to people about you, they always talked about what coaches call a cerebral player, the coach's thinking man on the floor. And obviously with what you've done since then, you obviously are that, a very cerebral, smart, intelligent person. But to go along with that, Todd, you also see the importance of the other pieces of life, family-oriented, spending time with your kids, sharing your experiences, your talents, and your gifts with other young people in athletics. So it's really exciting, and it's got to be a fun part of your life to not only the professional side of what you're doing, but also to be able to reconnect with the athletic side from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been very fortunate in my career to be able to take time, not so much at this time in my life, but this time in my kids' lives, to be able to spend time with them. And, you know, getting back into coaching, whether it's football or basketball, is really, I just told one of my colleagues last night, I'm sort of living the dream being able to do this coaching stuff because, you know, I remember to this day how much Coach Duncan and Coach Ransom, you know, gave for us to be good players. And, you know, you always remember the lessons that they teach you, and trying to impart some of that on the young kids today where the world's changed so much is an important thing.
Now, Todd, this is Joe. Comment and question here. I coached football at Southridge for a number of years, and, you know, one of the things, I coached with Coach Winkler a lot on the line, and, you know, he used to tell me about how hard of a worker you were and how much he enjoyed having you as one of the players. But also, you know, you talked about the team. You know, I was involved with a team where, you know, played together back in Pony League and just kept playing up until high school. You know, do you have any contact with any of those guys very much at all, the 85-86 team?
You know, it certainly has dropped off as time has gone on and distance has, you know, separated us. But probably, you know, once or twice a year through email or Facebook or over the holidays, we'll see each other and chat. You know, it's pretty amazing how, you know, those memories together still are some of the, I think, most, you know, memorable times for all of us. And certainly when we get together, we like to talk about that. But, yeah, I do keep track of Rick and Ron, Ronnie, Andy, Ted O'Brien, all those guys. And you know, at least if you can't see them every day, follow what they're doing on Facebook and other ways. And it's fun.
And it's kind of funny, too, when you've got a teammates like that, how when you see them, it's like you've never been away from them, you know.
That's exactly right.
You've got that connection that, you know, that's always there, and it's funny how that works. But
yep.
Hey Todd, speaking, it's a great segue into my next question, and talking about your team from 85 and 86, and obviously basketball is a big part of your story because you went to two Final Fours in the one class system at a time when Hoosiers was coming out, and really the debate was beginning about class basketball, which would rage there for about 10 years or so. But let me ask you this. 1985 team that goes to the first state finals, at what point do you look at a bunch – you were all underclassmen. At what point
right.
do you look at each other? I mean, you had the perfect pieces to the puzzle. You have twin guards who – who know exactly what they're doing, what the other one's doing at all times, quickness, toughness, great guys off the court, and I'm sure competitors and assassins on the court. You had some size, although not the most skilled person. Andy Nass had some size. He could take up room in the lane. I mean, when you look at the pieces of that team, at what point in your junior season are you guys looking with Coach Duncan, Coach Ransom, and saying, you know what? We've got an opportunity to go far.
So that season, I think, was memorable in a lot of ways. I think what a lot of people forget is we were 0-2 to start that year. And, you know, Coach Duncan had made some decisions to play, you know, a bunch of juniors. I think we rebounded from that, continued through the year, and in January and February, we went on a pretty big winning streak. I don't know, probably won 13 out of 14. And at that point, you know, I grew up watching Danny and Nathan Sherry, Dave Reese, and those guys. And winning the sectional was the big, big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
We felt we had a good shot to, you know, win the sectional. I think that year, Jasper got knocked off early, which was always our big rival. So we had some confidence going in. I remember vividly championship game of the sectional, Rick Patrick knocking down, like, three shots from the top of the key in the first quarter to put Forest Park out of reach. And, you know, I think we were pretty confident then that, you know, okay, we're going to make a good showing of ourselves in at the Hatchet House. Go in, play a scrappy North Harrison team. I think that was the first game. And then I believe we played Washington Catholic. You guys may be able to remember. But in any case, we won that game, close game. Rick and Ron had both fouled out, and me and Ronnie were playing guard, which, you know, I wasn't exactly swift dribbling with my left hand. So it was me and Ronnie trying to bring the ball against the press. We ended up holding on to that. And, you know, we get home that night. We find out that Austin had won their regional, but L&M was sitting there.
And Todd, that was really where I was going to go next, because you've got that L&M team who was, let's face it, they were the sweetheart of the state that year. Small little town, Lyons and Marco. They would eventually consolidate to White River Valley, but at the time they'd been in Sports Illustrated, yep. Patterson and Oliphant. It was a great story. Of course, run right along the lines of Hoosiers. You guys beat Austin, and you're going to play L&M in the championship. L&M had to play a pretty tough, I think, Bossy team the game before, but you're going in. I got to be honest with you, and please, this is nothing against you or the rest of the Raiders. Being a Jasper boy, I wasn't a big fan of the Raiders anyway, but I was excited for your progress going forward. But when you went up against L&M, I got to admit, I was for L&M, and I'd say that probably everybody was for L&M except those Southridge Raider fans. But that had to be. Did you ever, going into that game or even after, did you ever think about how big a game that was from not just you're playing for a semi-state championship going to the state finals in the one-class system, but you're playing L&M, who has been in Sports Illustrated, who has become the darling of not just the state of Indiana, but they were the darling of the underdogs in the country at the time, talking about high school basketball.
You know, I think, well, I know we had all read that Sports Illustrated article. I remember Coach Duncan took us to see them play in December. And, you know, we knew they were talented players, but, you know, I don't remember fearing them at all. You know, I think once we actually looked at the scouting report, the fundamental thing that we realized was they had two players that were pretty much better than any player we had on the team. But after that, you know, I think their skill level dropped off pretty significantly. And mm-hmm. we knew, and kind of our MO both years was we were going to play as a team, and we're going to do what it takes. And we went out there, and sort of on the defensive end, You know, I don't recall exactly, but I'm pretty sure Patterson and Oliphant had both over 20 points, but I'm not sure that any other player on the team had more than four. Offensively, Andy stepped up, had a huge game that game. I think we limited turnovers. And all through that period, I think our shooting was incredibly hot. So, you know, going in, we felt like, well, these guys may be the, you know, the popular media darlings and folks, you know, throughout the community were sort of rooting for them. But, you know, we sort of grew up believing we could play with anybody and we're just going to go out and play our game. We didn't do anything differently at all. Coach had us prepared and sort of just went out there and played basketball, didn't let the bright lights affect us, and really kind of put it to them a little bit.
You absolutely put it to them. In fact, it was a thrashing, and I remember watching it. I actually saw it on TV, and it was a thrashing. And you guys were what I would call all the pieces to the puzzle to have a good, solid team, and you had a little bench play that helped as well. You go into the next year, you've got all underclassmen. They're coming back as seniors. You've got to feel pretty confident. When you went up to the state finals in 85, let me just digress a little bit. When you went up in 85, you play a Marion team. And we know Jay Edwards and Lyndon Jones, but they also had some other good players on that team. And I really think you went through a period of high school when there were some great players coming through, Alford and different people like that were going through their high school careers around that time. But you went to the state finals, one-class system, and I want people to remember this was the one-class system. You go up in 85, you play Marion, you go in. What are you guys thinking? Final Four. I mean, you're living a dream, and now but it's a reality. What are you guys thinking? How's Coach Duncan preparing you? What are the conversations going on between the players in that first time around at the state finals?
So the preparation week, in terms of the X's and O's, was pretty much identical. You know, we come in on Monday, Coach Duncan, Coach Ransom, Coach Maxey, got a scouting report. You know, we obviously knew they were very talented, and we're going to have to play, you know, a great game. The thing that was really amazing was the, like, logistics and hoopla associated with the high school basketball Final Four in mm-hmm. Indiana. Mm-hmm. You know, the caravan going to Indianapolis, walking into Market Square Arena. You know, Coach Duncan pulled out the ruler and measured the rims. They were 10 foot, you know, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Police escorts to the hotels.
Yeah.
All of that stuff for, you know, 16, 17-year-old kids is pretty cool. And you know, I don't think we were awestruck, but I think as, you know, kids from a small town in southern Indiana, it was certainly a different experience. You know, when the game came, If let me put it this way, I think if we would have played the 85 Marion team when we were seniors, we would have played, I think, much better, because it was a huge shock at the athleticism, pace of play, and skill level and size that we were going against.
Mm-hmm.
I think both years we got down early and fought back pretty well. You know, just in the end, they were better than us. And, you know, the whole sometimes, like against L&M, the team game can win it for you, but we just weren't ready yet to take that next step against that caliber of player.
Well, and you weren't just playing against any team. I mean, a lot of those young men on Marion would go on to have great Division I careers, but the story's not over in 1985. You guys all are coming back in 1986, and you're moving into your senior season, but you're also an outstanding football player, Todd. You're an excellent quarterback. You end up an all-state quarterback at Southridge, but you ran into some physical problems in your senior year during football. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, came senior year, had another extremely good, close-knit team with actually a bunch of different players on that team. In the second last game, running option, my foot got stuck in the grass at Tecumseh, and I broke my ankle. And essentially that was the end of it. That was the end of the football year for me. And had to work, you know, to rehab that, had some good doctors, and get ready for the basketball season that was essentially 2 months away.
So when you go in and you start that season, I think you were out the first 9 games of the basketball season, and I think Coach Duncan made a comment going into the tournament that that you really, I don't want to say struggled, but felt some of the effects of it all the way up to around sectional time.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair statement. And, you know, what he had told us later was, essentially, I broke my ankle like middle of October, and on January 15th or so, 3 months later, I was able to play basketball again. And what Coach said was, basically, you're not ready to play, but we're going to play you because we need to get everybody back in time for the tournament. And, yeah, it was a struggle even jumping. It was a struggle shooting layups off that foot. I had a plate in there that was still sore. But, you know, he played me. I slowly worked my way back into shape. You know, great teammates, you know, no animosity among them when I was getting to play and I might not have been 100% and other kids might have done better. It was all for the good of the team. You know, then my sectional, sort of we all found our roles again. You know, my junior year, I scored a lot. Other guys played other roles. When I was a senior, the scoring load was much more distributed and we all sort of morphed into new roles to do other things to help the team. And basically got on a roll again in the tournament time.
And a roll you guys did get on, and it was a great run in the tournament again. You go into the semi-state. You've got to beat Floyd Central in the opener. You play Memorial in the final, I think. And Memorial had a pretty solid – that was a great game between Southridge and Memorial. And then you do it again. You win, and you're going back to your second straight Final Four appearance in Indianapolis, pretty much the same team. What's the mindset going into the set? You know what I think also made – you got to play Marion again. So
yep.
So what are you guys thinking? You're going back to the Final Four for a second time, but you got to face another great Marion team.
So I want to back up a little bit because you talked about the good Floyd Central team and the good Memorial team, and they were good. But to this day, I think the best and greatest high school basketball game I ever played in or even have ever seen was the sectional championship between us and Jasper. I don't remember the exact stats, but I think Jasper shot something like 65% from the field, played the game of their lives. We ended up shooting like 70% from the field. You know, it was all of our seniors playing against a pretty heavily senior-dominated team that they had, and it being nip and tuck the whole game. After that game, we actually went to the Jasper locker room and shook their hands again, telling them what a great game it was and how much we enjoyed playing in it. But that to me, that game to me just epitomized what, you know, the rivalries in high school basketball in Indiana was about. And that sort of set us on our way back to the Final Four. You know, this year we're going up there. They had lost their point guard and their big power forward, and I think that we knew we matched up a little bit better against them. Obviously, Edwards and Jones were a year better, so that made it difficult. But if you watch that tape, the first half, first quarter of that game, we couldn't buy a bucket. We were missing bunnies. We were missing everything, open layups. And, again, got behind the eight ball with something like 21-4 and had to fight all the way back. I think we cut it down to 6 or 8 points at one point, but just that initial deficit was too much to overcome. And, you know, they were the better team again, and, you know, we played as well as we could play. You know, we left everything out there and just didn't work out.
Well, it was a great two-year run. From there, you're going to go on to Indiana State, quarterback, tremendous career on the college level. I really appreciate the fact that you brought up that sectional game with Jasper because, looking back, thinking back, it was a nip-and-tuck game and could have gone Jasper's way. And at that point, a team that would go on again and get to the Final Four for a second year is out of the tournament, which is the great thing about Indiana basketball, especially in the one-class tournament. But as you look back at your experiences as a junior and a senior and then your college career in football, how has athletics and the preparation and the mental approach and handling things physically, how have those things helped you now today in your professional life?
Well, I think the biggest thing that mainly sports and basketball in particular, and let's be clear, I mean, high school basketball growing up in Southern Indiana was my first love. But I just happened to be a taller kid that can throw the football, and to go to a college at a high level and play, that's the sport I needed to play, and that's what I worked on. But our basketball team was always what I'll always look back to. And the thing that strikes me most about those really 4 years was, we had coaches that had extreme confidence in us at their own personal sort of heartache. Coach Duncan and Coach Ransom brought us up to the JV as freshmen and played. He brought a couple of the varsity of sophomores, and we played over upperclassmen. And we had a mediocre record. But through that all, what we learned is you keep working. You always work because you can never get to your goal if you don't work. All right? If you do work at something, you got a shot at it. That's the first thing. Second thing is you got to play as a team, and that's the thing I see that's most different, with athletes today. Of those six guys I played with, any one of us would give anything just to win. If it meant not scoring a bucket or having to do this or that, it didn't matter. We wanted to win. We wanted to win as a team, and that teamwork, for me, carried over to building companies. What guys do you hire that are going to be part of the team? And will they fit in? And will they do what it takes? Will they go the extra mile? Will they keep their mouth shut and work hard, even if they know they're not going to have any personal success or personal glory? It's the stuff like, instead of practicing for 2 hours, let's run steps for 2 hours because we don't have a game for 5 days, and this will make us better, not this week, but in March. All those, self-sacrifice, working hard, never quitting, team building, those things carry on not just to when I studied in school when I was in business, but even now in just in life and what you teach your own kids.
Yeah, Todd, I'll tell you, so many lessons are learned, and the experience you had, I called you the cerebral player. I see that so much in talking to you because you look past, just the winning and the big shot. You're looking at all the things that it takes to get there. And that's what's really important. Your coaches had vision to yep. see what could be if they were willing to make the decisions that needed to be made. The players had some vision to see that we can get where we want to go or where I want to go, but only with the 4, 5, 6 other guys if we're willing to give and sacrifice where we need to. And you guys are one of the great, from a Jasper guy to a Southridge guy, you're one of the great stories of Indiana high school basketball, the 85 and the 86 Southridge Raiders, because of where you started and where you got to, not just 1 year, but 2 years. 1 year's tough enough, but doing it 2 years in a row is outstanding. I said at the beginning of the segment, the sad thing about this interview is we weren't going to have enough time to cover all the things that I'd love to talk with you about, both from your high school days and now in your professional life. But I want to say as we end this segment, we certainly appreciate you coming on. Continued success, continued prosperity in your professional life and in your family life. And may you have peace in all your days going forward. And we just really appreciate you coming on the show with us.
Well, thank you guys very much. It's been my pleasure. And just as a closing comment, you know, our 2 years ended up in losses. But for me personally, and I think I can speak for the rest of the team, we would have much rather finished those 2 years losing to Marion in a single-class system than winning in a multi-class system like we have now, because that was the essence of Hoosier Hysteria, and it enabled us to live our dreams out and have it shot to be the best. So I appreciate you guys having me
on. I know that we could talk about the one-class system versus the class system, and I got to tell you, I'm a proponent of the one-class system, but there is something about it, and you got to be a big part of it. And you're right; it's not always about the final score; it's about the journey and how the journey can prepare you for the next season of your life. So, again, thanks for being with us, Todd. We certainly appreciate it. As we go to break, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Join Ken, Coach K, Shel Tice, and Joe Milligan every Friday from 11 to 1 for the Coach K and Joe Show. High school sports, college sports, pro sports, they will talk about it all with guests from around the state. The Coach K and Joe Show brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. You can listen to the Coach K and Joe Show by going to jaspertodayonline.com and clicking on the link. You can also listen to archive shows there. It's the Coach K and Joe Show every Friday at 11 on jaspertodayonline.com.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team. We've had over 5,000 listeners through our first three shows, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Football is like a good old-fashioned pot of American gumbo. All kinds of spicy ingredients mixing together, all in the name of flavor. And you know what I'm tasting, Bobby?
Okra?
No. No, I taste victory.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and let's rewind the clock just a little bit.
Oh.
Well, this is serious stuff for the Hoosier fans out there, and those who don't like the Hoosiers, you better be on your knees because there's a good chance that the Cream and Crimson are going to be playing for a berth, in the Big Ten Championship, and it's just phenomenal. And with Ohio State situation,
I've been silent long enough. You beat Illinois and you beat Iowa. I'll spare Coach and Gook the rest because it has to be a little demoralizing for them, right?
Oh, not really.
I was off on the score, 19 points for Wisconsin. So
Joe,
I was wrong too. So I'm.
You know, sometimes you wear your heart on your sleeve, and Kurt and I did, but you didn't play the whole interview. You didn't play the whole prediction.
Oh,
and
I've
I want
it.
You to just take
I've
a second.
I've got the rest.
I've got the rest, and I want everybody to hear what you cut off during the show that people didn't get to hear. So I want you to listen.
Wisconsin 21.
All right, Coach K.
IU 27, Wisconsin 21.
That's what I believe in my heart. That's what I'd like to see happen, Joe and Kurt. But my real prediction is that IU is not going to be able to handle the defense of Wisconsin, nor the running game of Monty Bell or the rest of the offense. And it's probably going to be more like it's been in the past, 55-7, 66-7. So my heart wants Indiana to win. So
that's the part that Joe cut out of the show, that people didn't get to hear my true prediction.
Now,
so go ahead and make comments about me, Joe.
iTunes doesn't allow edited shows. They want them all in their entirety, so...
That's cool. All right, we're eating crow, and we're moving on to bigger and better things. Kurt, it's good to have you on. We just had Todd Yoakam on from that wonderful run in 85-86, and it was a pleasure listening to him talk about not just the winning games or hitting the shots, but all that it takes to become a great team and get there.
Well, he was a great leader for those teams. I mean, he was a three-sport athlete, and he's a good guy, and he's done quite well for himself, and it's always good to get together with him. They honored his teams a couple of years ago. Dunk had them all in for a game, and, yeah, Todd's great.
Yeah, he certainly is, and just a sharp man and doing great things. Hey, let's talk some IU hoops, and let's talk about their start. Last night they played Sam Houston State, won easily from start to finish, up 20, 25, 30, 45, 50. What did you take from that game, Kurt?
Well, again, they were looking for, you know, they attacked those games in different ways, and maybe they were looking for something that different in each one of these blowout type of games. But I guess Crean was looking for some more energy to jumpstart the beginning of the game, so he inserted Will Sheehy into the lineup and brought Watford off the bench. And you know a team is going in the right direction if you got one of your better guys, one of your veterans coming off the bench, and he responds to that. I mean, a lot of guys may mope and sulk, but Watford was on his game. I mean, he was deflecting balls, he was rebounding, and he happened to get 24 points. So I thought that was good. Everybody else played well. Jordan Hull's got his 1,000th point in a career, only the 44th player to do so. So, I mean, I was encouraged by that. And I was wanting to see how Watford was going to respond, and he responded very well. And that's something that, you know, it didn't matter what the score of the game was. It was just something that you could look for to see how that came out. And that's what you're going to have in these blowouts.
Now, was Watford and Zeller and Oladipo and them part of the people that were full court pressing with 4 minutes to go in the game?
Ooh.
I didn't notice that. When did you see that?
Yeah, I think with about five. I do remember with about 5 minutes left, we were still applying full court pressure with a 48-50 point lead. It surprised me a little bit, but Kurt, maybe he was looking to see certain things come out of that game to prepare for the coming week, next week.
Well, maybe he was, and that's not a good thing to be doing. I will say I'm a little uneasy when he has some of those regulars out there with 5 minutes to go, with 4 minutes to go, because that's when some injuries happen, and that's happened before to some different guys up there. And I would say that is a concern. You know, get those guys out of there, but when you got a whole bench full of good guys, I guess some of them have to play. I don't know, but that just
Sure he went in there looking for certain rotations and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I was a little surprised, and people listening, I'm not against the Hoosiers. I love the Hoosiers, and I'm not bashing the approach of Coach Crean. But I was a little surprised that 6-7 minutes left in the game, 48-point lead, that some of the rotations still included, you know, top six or seven. Five or six players for sure, if not the top seven, and we still had them out there. Because I'm like you, Kurt, it only takes Creek making a move to the basket, or Watford, or Zeller falling over somebody, and then you've got a major injury with no reason to have them out on the court.
And that's what happened to Creek a couple of years ago in the first injury. So, yeah, that would be tough.
Kentucky Duke, let's go there, guys, because I thought that was an interesting game. I thought the veteran experience of Duke won out in the end. And I want to make this point. Both coaches are outstanding, and I think the veteran play of Duke won out in the end. Having said that, if they play 2 months from now, I don't think Duke wins that game. I really believe that Kentucky, I was impressed with Kentucky's team from where they were from the first game. They were a little more physical. They blocked out a little better. They've still got to get a lot better. The one thing I noticed about UK is they're a little fast out there. You know how we talk about as coaches, we say, don't be fast, but be quick. They're a little fast. They do things a little too fast instead of setting up the defense, getting the right timing, and then being quick to the basket. But I got to tell you something. Mason Plumlee, a couple of those other guys made the difference. But I'm not so sure 6 to 8 weeks from now Kentucky doesn't win that game.
Oh, I think you're right. You got to remember that they were without Harrell, their point guard, and they had to move some guys around. And that's what's so great about playing good teams earlier. That was so much of the disappointment with Cal and Crean not being able to get together an IU-Kentucky game. Because games like that are a lot better than pounding on Sam Houston State. They're going to learn some things about that. And all the good programs down through the years were the Denny Crum Louisville teams, the Izzo Michigan State teams, even the Duke teams, the Carolina teams played good teams. And that was a great matchup. And I think Kentucky's going to get a lot out of that, as will Duke.
Oh, no doubt. And you know what was interesting to me, guys? What was early in the game, Duke took the ball at Kentucky. And I thought Kentucky's inside people did a great job of being athletic, but putting themselves in a position to get a block or make it difficult on them and not fouling. And I thought that showed tremendous growth from one game to the next. I got to give Coach Calipari a lot of credit in keeping those guys focused on becoming better basketball players and not just trying to be to just use talent. You can use your athletic ability, but you got to know how to use it, where to use it, why to use it. And that's why I'm not a great Kentucky supporter, but I got to tell you, I like this team. I like where they're headed. And I really believe it's not just Noel. It's a bunch of other guys on that team that are going to have a lot of fun before this season's over.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that's one thing that Cal does with this system. He uses with the young players and the way that they play freshmen. They bring them along. Maybe they don't put in everything right away, but it's a continual building process.
And we don't want to leave out Purdue. Purdue played last night a great game with Villanova. I know there's many people in the area besides Joe, a former student of mine, a family here in Evansville. Julie Templin Purdue and her family are big Purdue fans. And
of course,
that was a good game last night. Purdue and Nova went overtime. Joe, I think you were able to catch the last part of it. Not too happy with the officiating down the stretch.
I think even an IU fan that saw the flagrant one on DJ Bird would have to disagree with it. He never made contact with the guy. That was a questionable call, especially at the end of the game. Especially since they had the monitor they could go back to, and the two commentators are saying, yeah, this will be reversed. There's no, you know, there was no contact, and somehow. I'm not sure if they made a trip to Atlantic City before the game or what, put a few dollars down, but that was a terrible call. It to be made that late in the game was just absolutely ridiculous.
It wasn't a very good call, but Purdue will be all right. They've got to find a way to get something out of the post. I mean, they got some guys that are absolutely horrible, the older guys that they try to play in the post. I think Ronnie Johnson's going to be good, and Tyrone Johnson's good. They'll come along with Matt Painter, but they just got to get some consistent play inside.
Yep, that's your comment.
What kind of are you putting Kurt in on this contest that you humiliated me with earlier?
Oh yeah,
in the show?
Kurt, I'm going to give you 15. I'm going to give you 15 seconds of a bunch of fight songs. Okay. And I'm going to tell you.
I'll nail this.
I'll give you a little hint. It's not going to take much to beat Schulteis, okay?
I'm humiliated.
Here's first. Did we have an answer?
I can't. I couldn't. It was too loud.
Okay, I'll turn it down a little bit. I'm going to turn it down and play again.
I heard him say Notre Dame.
I have no idea.
Nope.
Colorado State.
Oh, okay.
Second.
That's a household song.
Yeah, it's a household name.
And your guess is?
I have no idea.
Have you never seen the movie We Are Marshall? It's only played like 100 times during that. Now this is the one that's going to get Kenny in a little hot water.
I couldn't understand it.
You don't know that one either?
No, I don't.
That's Ball State.
Oh,
Janet Schulteis.
If my wife Janet would have been here, she'd have nailed that one. But sorry, I didn't know that one either.
Do you want to hear the last two? You're never going to guess them, but I'll give you a try.
That's Oklahoma, right?
No, that's Florida International.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And the last one.
I thought this was a sports show.
Hey, this isn't
the Iowa State Band contest.
But if you guess this one, you'll win because Kenny was 0 for 5.
This isn't it, so let's go.
And your guess?
I have no idea. This cannot be any more obscure than it is.
Okay, I'll come up with the easier ones next week. My God.
That'd be great.
I knew you were going to try to pull one on us, and you did. I feel
and
better that went
Joe's
0 for 5
teacher.
Also. Our show's probably over on the live cast, but we continue on podcast. We have any predictions for the weekend, Joe?
We will have three predictions. We will have IU at Penn State. No scores this week, just names.
I'm going with Penn State. You have to go with the Nittany Lions. They've done a nice job. O'Brien's kept that team together, and they, you know, let's remember that they had some good players stockpiled there in State College. But if Indiana, it would be a little better matchup for Indiana. The stars did not align with Wisconsin, Indiana. They never do. But this should be a closer game. But I'll go with Penn State in State College.
Coach
and
K.
I'm going to go with Penn State, too. I just think defensively they're too strong, and he has done a great job, Penn State.
Okay, and then our next game is the 2012 NCAA Division II Football Playoff Super Region 4. We've got Midwestern State at 9-1 and ranked number 8 against the number 18 UIndy Greyhounds at 9-2.
I will go with the Greyhounds.
I'm going to stay with Adam Kinese and the Greyhounds. Why not? We're proud of him. He was on the show. We think we brought him some extra luck. We're going with the Greyhounds.
Okay.
While they're throwing the football.
And the last one is Purdue traveling to the Fighting Illini. Two bad teams.
You know what, Joe? I would hope Purdue could keep it going against like they had a nice win last week. All kidding aside, Iowa's not very good at all, and that coach has got to be the Kirk Ferentz. They paid him a lot of money to be mediocre. But Purdue went in there and got a win, and that was good. I don't know if it had something to do with the offensive coordinator that you guys don't like being back in West Lafayette, but Purdue got the win. And Illinois is not very good, and these are the teams you got to beat. And I'm going to go with Purdue. They let me down a couple of weeks ago when I went with them, but I'm going to try to go with the Boilermakers tomorrow. How about that?
Okay. Kenny, you pick Illinois, right?
I'm going to go with Illinois, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, good, because I wanted you to. That's why.
I think that Illinois, I don't know if Illinois can win or not, but I want them to win because I do not want the IU-Purdue game to come down to bowl eligibility for the Boilers because we've got to go into Boilerland. I think the game's at Purdue between IU, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you guys will screw IU over. So
I
don't want any possibility of Purdue being bowl eligible with a win over IU. So I'm going with Illinois.
Well, we're not happy with pizza bowls, so, you know. So, I might be for IU that game. Who knows?
No, you can't do that. That's what they call Purdue mentality. You got to be for your team.
No, if I got to look at the bigger picture. I'm a bigger picture person. I'm not short term.
They're just like Indiana. They're so far away from the big picture. You got to root for your team in the bucket game. I would be strongly disappointed in you, Joe, if you did that.
Do you think I could cheer for IU? The last time, the only IU team I've ever been for.
You could sit there ambivalently.
1930, whatever, when my godfather played for IU, would be the only IU team I'd ever cheer for. So.
You know, Joe is like a lot of, a few other Purdue fans I know, they keep straddling that fence. They don't want to commit because they don't want to be embarrassed, but they always straddle that fence. Oh, we're for them, we're against them, we want them to win, we don't care if they win, this game doesn't matter, he needs to get fired. They're never committed, and Kurt, you and I are. That's why the Hoosiers national championships.
So. Hey, you know what? It's great that we can talk about Indiana and Purdue and all these other teams. I mean, and that's why shows like this are good, because everybody's passionate about the team that they root for. You know, hopefully the Indiana boys do well tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yep. Kurt, what do you got coming up? I'm sure you're off getting ready for basketball. What will be the first couple games you'll be covering on the radio?
Southridge does not open up until December 1st. They always ran into deals with football and things, and I'd like to get your opinion on this. They don't open until then. They don't mess around with Thanksgiving. They don't mess around with football semi-states or state championship games anymore. And I would think, as a coach, that would be great, especially since they've cut you guys back or cut the guys back to 2 weeks of practice on the opening game. So I know Southridge is very happy with that, and that's what Northeast Dubois is doing as well. So that's my first game. And I think teams are a little bit fresher at the end of the season when they start a little later and give some of those guys that play the other sports in the fall time to heal. I would think that would be great for a coach.
I would absolutely agree with that. In fact, Joe and I were talking a little bit about basketball scheduling yesterday, and one of the comments I made was how difficult the tournament at Southridge was. It was a great tournament, but it was so difficult because it fell while football was still going on, the Thanksgiving holiday. I remember going in. We had won five straight Southridge holiday tournaments, and we went over there. We had guys in football. Michael Lewis had been hurt in a car accident, couldn't play. We had guys, as I said, out because of football. You just never took the team over there in a position to be competitive the way they needed to be because of all that was going on. So I know what you're saying. Plus, it's not fair to the kid. I don't think it's fair to the players because, especially the ones that are coming out of other sports, they need some time to rest mentally and physically and then gear back up. And I think it's good idea. December 1st, I'm 100% for it.
Well, especially, like I said, they used to start on October 15th, and you were ready to go, especially the non-football schools, on November 12th, 13th, or 14th. But now they give you 2 weeks before your game week. So if you can push back the start of your schedule a little bit, you can get more time to work. And I always found that funny, and I know you'll agree, Coach, They would say, even basically a lot of the non-basketball people, hey, you know, they Jasper or Heritage Hills or Southridge, they can take their JV team over there in that tournament and just play those guys. But you know what? At the end of the year when they measure the coach's record and this, that, and the other, then they want to fire or get rid of somebody. I mean, you wouldn't do that in any other sport, but that was always the guy people's answer for not, you know,
trying to get around that tournament, and I know a coach will understand that, but not many other people do.
Bobby Slick Leonard said it best on the IU game last night when they interviewed him. It's all about getting those wins, being successful. Nobody wants to go over and play a game just to play a game, and especially if the record's going to count, they're going to keep score.
Most definitely. So, yeah, that's getting back to your original question. I got a little break here of play-by-play broadcasting, so kind of enjoying that because once basketball season hits, it's a lot.
Well, guys, that's all the time we're going to have this week, and I invite everybody out there to check out. We're in the big time. We now have our podcasts on iTunes. So, Kenny, Joe, Gook, any closing statements?
No, it's just another great week of Coach K and Joe's show. You have good guests. A lot of people are talking about your show. I had a chance to visit with Michael Lewis last week, and he enjoyed being on. I told him he did a nice job on that star-studded day that he was on, and just a very well-put-together, very well-run, very thought-out show. So, I think people are enjoying it, and I like being a part of it.
Well, we love having Kurt Gooksell. He makes our show better. Thanks for listening, folks. Tune in next week, and we went a little bit over, but you'll be able to listen to all of it on the podcast. So tune in next week for the Coach K and Joe Show. Great having you